What is the nature of saving faith? If we're saved by faith and not works, then what kind of faith is saving faith? If Abraham was made right with God through his faith, what kind of faith did Abraham have? What kind of faith do we need? So in Romans 4, we're going to begin in verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, as it is written, he's quoting from Genesis, I've made you the father of many nations. End quote. And Paul says, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he, that is Abraham, believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone. This is good news. But for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. What a passage of Scripture. What a text we have to look at this morning. Would you bow in prayer with me briefly? Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Would you pray and ask God to speak to you today? Would you ask Him to give you this kind of faith? I'll give you a moment. Father, here we are in Your presence as we have worshiped You together. Lord, now we quieten down, Lord. We understand that we need to hear from God. We need the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. We are weak and frail and prone to all kinds of things that aren't helpful to us and aren't pleasing to You. But Lord, here we come with boldness, with faith, expecting You to speak through Your Word, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. We believe in You, O God, and we ask You to speak through the Bible today. We want to be justified by faith. I pray if anyone is not right with You today, that You will accomplish that miracle in their heart today, and that all of us, our faith would be strengthened in You, and that You would be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 4, we're talking about the nature of saving faith. What kind of faith saves? What kind of faith did Abraham have? Paul is going to get descriptive, as we just saw in the text, about the kind of faith that Abraham has, the kind of faith he's calling us to have as well. So I want to start with 3 points today, and the first one is Abraham's God. Before we talk about Abraham's faith, we've got to talk about Abraham's God. Amen? Because the kind of faith Abraham had, he was only able to have that faith, that kind of faith, because he had that kind of God. Sometimes I think when we talk about faith, listen to me, I think you're maybe prone to this with me sometimes. Sometimes we focus on our faith and not on our God. We think that, you know, if I just had more faith, and you know, maybe we beat ourselves up when our faith is not perfect. Abraham's faith was not perfect, by the way. Abraham was not perfect. He had some sins and some setbacks. But his life, the trajectory, the overall path of his life was toward the Lord in faith. Abraham didn't just have faith, he had a God that he could believe. And so the first thing we see this morning is the God in whom Abraham believed. The first thing we need to learn about Abraham's faith, and the first thing we need to learn about the kind of faith God wants us to have, is that this saving faith is radically God-centered. Let me say that again. The kind of faith we need, the kind of faith Abraham had, the kind of faith that saves, is radically God-centered. The promise to Abraham that he would become the father of many nations is described in verse 17 as occurring or happening in the presence. Look at that word, present. In the presence of the God in whom he believed. I know we want, 12 steps to a deeper faith. Don't we? You want that? You want this preacher to give you some tips on how to believe better. But what this preacher needs to tell you and myself this morning is that no matter how strong or weak our faith is, the most important thing is what is the object of our faith, and it is the Lord God. Little faith in a big God accomplishes much. Amen? Jesus taught that. Faith like a mustard seed can move mountains. The kind of saving faith we need is just to see the Lord. The word presence there, it reminds us that Abraham's life was not lived in a vacuum. You have a page in your Bible. Abraham was not stuck on that page. He's not part of this vacuum, an isolated story. It reminds us that God is part of Abraham's story. Abraham was not the only character in his story. In fact, Abraham was not even the main character in his story. His was a story about God. Our story is part of a larger story about God. We are radically self-centered. So the guy said, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. We are focused on ourself. That is part of our sin nature. And the Bible is not written that way. Have you ever discovered that the Bible doesn't have you at the center of it? Some people haven't found that out yet. They look at every page of the Bible and their goal in reading the Bible is to find themselves in there. And this is about me, and this is for me, and this is... And the Bible is a book about God, not you or me. Yes, it has to do with us and how we can be accepted by God through faith in His Son. But it is a story of glory about a God who's worthy of praise. You and I are not the hero of the story, and Abraham was not the hero of the story about Abraham. It was part of a larger story that God was unfolding to save the world and give Himself glory. The focus of the Bible is God Himself in the presence of the God in whom he believed. Look at that, verse 17. In Genesis, God is making a promise to Abraham, and he's telling Abraham what God is going to do in his life. Not about Abraham, here's a dream for you to hang on to, and if you just hang on to that and pump enough faith into it, you can become something, glorious, you can become something beautiful. That's not the focus the Bible takes, guys. It's about God and lifting Him up and giving Him the glory. So we understand that Abraham's faith, listen, Abraham's faith is not in the power of faith. And a sermon about faith today is really a sermon about God that we believe in. So it's not about the power of faith. And it's not the beauty of what God promised Abraham. He's the heir of the world, new heavens and a new earth. That's good, but the focus is not that. It's a story about a God who can be trusted. Abraham's faith is in God. Abraham's faith is not in himself. It's not in his own character. It's not in his own ability. If I can just grit my teeth and do what God promised, I can make it happen. And that's not it. Abraham was not able to do what God promised would happen. And you and I are not able to do these things that God calls us to do. We turn from ourselves and we look to the God who can do it. And that is faith. We have it backwards. We have this, you know, believe in the power of yourself and positive thinking and all of this. And that's what the world says. But the Scriptures, they fly right in the face of that. And they just say, well, yeah, forget about faith for a minute and just look at God. See Him. That's what you and I need today, as a vision of God. Through the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our faith, we need to see this big God. I pray that's what He'll do, even as we go through this together. Paul's main text in this whole chapter has been Genesis 15:6. He quoted it in verse 3, if you'll look up verse 3 of chapter 4. And he said that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Notice it doesn't say Abraham believed hard. Abraham believed well. Abraham believed perfectly. Abraham believed with a lot of believing. No, it says Abraham believed God. That's the crucial element we leave out. It's focused on me and my faith over here. Where's God in the picture? No, it's you and God. That's what we need to learn about faith this morning. Abraham had a big God, and he believed God, and he was counted right. So we learn first off here, Abraham is not just believing a promise, but he's trusting in the God who made the promise. Amen? It's not about finding this promise from God, and I'm going to focus on that promise and believe for that promise to come to pass in my life. No, you're wrong. You've got the whole thing lopsided. It's not believing a promise. It's trusting a God. The word for believe can be translated. It's the same word as trust. Faith is personal because it's trusting a person. Amen? That's what we got to see this morning. A promise is only as good as the one who makes it. And Abraham's God could be trusted. Secondly, Paul's going to describe this God that Abraham is trusting. In verse 17, look at the second part of verse 17. In the presence of the God in whom he believed. Now tell us about this God, Paul. Well, he gives life to the dead. And, as if that wasn't enough, he calls into existence the things that do not exist. What a God. There's a lot that could be said about God. Paul just gives us two. He's the God of resurrection and the God of creation. That's what these two things mean. The God who gives life to the dead, that's resurrection. And the God who calls into existence things that don't exist, that's the God of creation. We read in our scripture reading earlier, Hebrews chapter 11, that God created the world. By faith we understand that He created the world not from visible things. He created it out of nothing. This is the God that we can trust. His power is great. He cannot fail because He is the God who calls into existence things that do not exist. And even when something does exist and it's lost life and it's gone dead, God is the God who gives life to the dead. He's the God of resurrection. That is the God who revealed Himself to Abraham, the God that Abraham believed and trusted in. This is the God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word. He's described Himself, His attributes, His qualities. We can know this person that we're believing. One commentator said, the God who made the stars could certainly create children for Abraham as numerous as the stars. Amen? I mean, this seems impossible to give this old man and his barren wife children like the stars, but that doesn't even come close to creating the stars themselves. God is the God who called them into existence when they didn't exist. Can He give this old couple a miraculous birth? That's nothing compared to creating the stars. Show of hands, how many stars have you got? Or how many of you have created some stars and some galaxies? We can't do it. God is so high above us. Amen? We have a low view of God. We need to get up in the mornings as we're preaching the gospel to ourselves and remind ourselves of the greatness of God. We focus on our problems, on our sin, on, you know, where we fall short, and we need to acknowledge that, but then look away from it to the God who can cleanse us. He's able. Amen? These situations that we're in, we don't know how we're going to get out of them. We worry instead of looking up and trusting God. God has a plan. God has a plan. Nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32, 17, he says nothing is too difficult for the Lord. So, can you say amen? On lesson one about faith, it's not about really our faith, it's about the God that we're trusting. And He's able. And He's worthy. And He's faithful. So, start with God. Preaching to myself, preaching to all of us, we have a God. Alright, we've looked at Abraham's God. Well, when we get out of verse 17, when we get into verse 18, now we are confronted with a description of Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith. Alright, verse 18. Paul is just going to walk us step by step through the story of Abraham, give us some good teaching on faith. What is saving faith? Well, first of all, we saw in verse 18 that in hope, Abraham believed against hope. I want you to just think about that. Paul uses an unusual phrase there. In hope, he believed against hope. What does that mean? Well, it means that there were some reasons to doubt God's promise. I'm going to give you numerous descendants. Well, did Abraham have any reason why he may not, you know, to think he may not have numerous descendants? Yes, he's too old to have kids. And his wife is barren and past the age of having children. There are a lot of strikes against him, right? And if you look at it through human eyes, and if you assess the situation through human reasoning, it looked impossible, because it was impossible. Abraham and Sarah are not going to have any kids on their own. It's not going to happen. They were in an impossible situation, humanly speaking. But you remember what the angel told the Virgin Mary, who had just been promised that she was going to have a baby. In Luke 1:37, he said, nothing will be impossible with God. So, Abraham could have hope even when the situation was hopeless. Let's talk about the word hope for a minute. We use the word hope today not like the way the Bible uses it. We've redefined it. And so, what does biblical hope mean? We use the word hope like just a desired outcome, like a wish. Man, I wish this would happen. I hope today's going to be a good day. Probably not, but I hope so. That's not the way the biblical word is used. Scripture uses hope to mean looking forward in confident expectation. You can jot that down and go. Hope means looking forward in confident expectation. So, what does Paul mean that Abraham had hope against hope? It means this. Abraham looked at his situation and it was hopeless. Impossible. But then he quit looking at his situation and he looked at his God. And so his situation was hopeless, but when he looked at his God, he was able to have hope against hope. That's what we see with Abraham. Alright, he looked beyond the impossibility to the God who is able. Now I know some of what I'm saying may sound like prosperity gospel, word of faith stuff. We're going to clarify and define this a little better as we go. But first of all, we have a bigger problem than dealing with false teaching about faith. We have doubts about our great God. Let's deal with that first. We need to remember that we have an awesome God and nothing is impossible for God. Amen? We need to be reminded, brothers and sisters, that He is the God of hope in hopelessness. Because we are born in sin and it's hopeless for us to ever talk about going to heaven, being saved. But God is the God who gives us hope when things are hopeless. He gave His Son. And so let's deal with that. Now, Abraham, as I said, he looked beyond the impossibility of his situation to the God who is able, and so he found good reason to have hope, to look forward with confident expectation. Abraham hoped in the face of hopelessness. Now why? The rest of the verse tells us why. Did you see that? Don't just get lost in the beautiful poetic words of in hope. He believed against hope. Man, that's good stuff, but why? How could Abraham have hope against hope? That he should become the father of many nations as he had been what? As he had been what? Told. Faith is a response to God's Word. He had been told that that God would give him descendants as numerous as the stars. In other words, here's where we go wrong again. We think faith is just coming up with something we want, and if I believe hard enough, God will give it to me. That is false teaching. That is not biblical faith, and don't do that. All right? Faith is when God says He will do something, and you believe Him. You see the difference? Faith is not, you know, coming up with some beautiful dream that you wish God would give you, and man, you know, in prayer, I just felt like God wanted to give me that. Okay, you can feel a lot of things, guys. But has God told? Has God said? And if God has said, boom, that's done. Trust Him. It's going to happen. Amen? His Word is what's on the line here. And He will not go against His Word. So Abraham believed what God told him. Notice there's quotations there. So shall your offspring be. God spoke to Abraham and he trusted, he believed the Word of God. Abraham's confidence was not in himself and Sarah. Man, we're good at having children. No, there's no ability there. But we have a God with all ability. And that's what Abraham hoped in. God's Word. God's promise. You see, listen, because God has spoken something, the character of God is faithful. He will not lie. And the power of God, He is able. He cannot fail. So with God's character being faithful, I won't lie, and His power, His ability being unlimited, we can trust Him to do everything He promises. Amen? Now listen, again, if God hasn't promised it, it's not faith, even if you're saying you're believing for it. You've got to understand that. The Word of God was more real to Abraham than what he saw with his eyes. He looked at his situation, and he's too old for kids, and so is his wife. She's been barren, man. Even when she was young, she was barren. Now she's old. That's real, what you see. But God's Word is more real than what we see. God calls into existence the things that don't exist. God brings life to the dead. So this is teaching us volumes about the kind of faith we need. Faith is a response of trust in the Word of God. It's not coming up with something we want, a wish list, a Christmas list for God, and I'm going to believe God to get this. If God has not promised it, He's not bound to give it. Let me say something. You know, preachers preaching about faith, we don't always say things like this, but we need to hear it. God may not want us to have a new car. Well, doesn't God want to bless His children? Define blessing. God's definition of blessing may be different from ours. Well, let me rephrase that. God's idea of blessing is not the same as ours. We want stuff. And God wants character. And Christ-likeness. And a new car may not make us more Christ-like. In fact, it may take suffering to make us Christ-like. But I'm believing God to get out of this suffering. God puts you in that suffering to make you like Jesus. You think believing God to get out of it when He puts you there? That's not faith. That's witchcraft. That's manipulation. That's if I try hard enough, God will have to do what I say. That's you being God, rubbing a bottle and a genie comes out. Do you see? But the Scripture is God-centered. God gives a promise. And we say, yes, sir, I believe it. Man, I haven't heard a few amens recently. This is what you hear on TV. Right? God wants you to get out of that, you know, that debt. God wants you to do that. You know, I don't know what God wants for your life in specific terms. I know He wants you to trust Jesus and be saved. I know He wants to bless you with the kinds of blessing that He has. But I got to say that God may not plan to heal us from cancer, and God may not restore a broken family situation, or God may not give me a promotion. God may not do these things. You need to hear that and you need to know that. Because if He doesn't do that and you lose hope and give up on Christianity because God didn't do what I thought He was going to do, what are you going to do when your world falls apart? If God wills to lead us through suffering, we must believe Him and trust Him. That's faith. Faith is trusting God when He won't give us what we want. Not believing God to give us what we think He should. Faith is saying, Lord, if you, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, Job said. Even when it doesn't look like what I had in mind, I trust You, God. And I desire You above these things that I could have. Guys, I wish God would make all your suffering go away. I wish that, you know, it would, that your hurts would be healed. But God, I can't promise you that. God leads His children through suffering. Not because He's cruel, but He has a plan. Look at Jesus. God led His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus, to the cross. And you think we're going to be exempt from suffering? No. This is a broken world. The stain of sin is on it. And God's promises are not finally and ultimately for this life. He may bring you through your suffering. He may heal your sickness and restore things. Praise God. We should pray for that. As we pray like Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. But we should say, you know, what did the three Hebrew children that were about to be thrown in the fire for not worshiping the idol, what did they say? Our God is able to deliver us from your fire, O King. Right? He's able. There's no doubts in our minds about the ability. We believe He will deliver us. But even if He does not, we want you to know we're not bound to your idol. That's what they said. Even if He does not. Maybe some of us need to get on our knees and pray some even if He does not prayers. That's not giving up on faith, guys. That's growing in your faith. It's saying, Lord, by Your grace and with Your help, I want to stand firm. I want to stand strong in You. I want You to be my treasure and my delight now and in eternity, no matter what. No matter if You give me what I'm asking or if You say no. By the way, no is an answer to a prayer. Isn't no an answer? You say, well, I asked and God didn't answer. Yeah, He did. He said no. Or He said not yet. Or He said, my grace is enough for you in this situation. I've got some things that you need to learn that you won't learn if I take all this suffering away. Will you still love Him then? If not, then are you loving God or are you loving the absence of suffering? Right? And so these are some hard things for us to think about. But God calls us to trust in Him. He's not cruel. He's not playing games with your life. He's got a plan. And when faith rises up, you trust Him. He's good. Always good. Amen. Can we receive these things? So Abraham believed against hope. Now, Abraham did hear from God. He did hear that he's having children. So this wasn't just wishful thinking. He was standing on God's Word. He hoped against hope. Verse 19 cranks it up a little more here. He did not weaken. Look at that phrase. He did not weaken when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Some of you guys, at the word barrenness right there, you may have a little footnote in your study Bible. It'll take you down to the bottom and it'll tell you that that word barrenness could also be translated what? Anybody got one? You find it there? Dead. Paul uses the word dead twice here. He uses it, Abraham's body was as good as dead and Sarah's womb was dead. Double dead. Some of you may feel like you're in a double dead situation. And that's where Abraham and Sarah were. Talking hopeless. Well, let's get out our calculator. Let's come up with what we're bringing to the table to help God out. Zero for me. How about you, Sarah? Zero. Okay. And that's what we bring to the table every time. When we look to our ability and our character, it's null. It's void. It's zero. Nada. Because God is going to do it. And He's going to get the glory for it. There were ample reasons to give up hope. The deadness of his body, the deadness of his wife's womb. And Abraham knew that. Now, some of the manuscripts for this verse say that Abraham did not consider the deadness of his body or the barrenness of Sarah's womb. That's the King James Version translates that way. And that idea would be that he knew that to be true, but he didn't consider it. He didn't dwell on it. He looked past the situation and believed on what God said. But scholars say the best manuscripts that we found here actually say that he did consider. He did consider the deadness of his body, and he did consider the barrenness of Sarah's womb, and he believed God anyway. In other words, let's get real again here. Abraham knew what was stacked against him. Abraham knew he was too old and he was infertile. Abraham knew his wife was barren and he still believed God. Colin Cruz says that Abraham did not deny the realities of his own situation. Let me talk to you again, because I know if you ever are listening to Word of Faith preachers on TV, which don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. Here's what you hear. They teach us to deny reality and speak what we're believing for. So that, in other words, if you get sick, you're not supposed to say you're sick. You ever heard this? You know people like this? No, I'm not sick. I'm blessed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Right? You're sick right now. Faith is not pretending. Amen? Faith is not pretending. Faith is not saying, well, my eyes see sickness, but I'm believing God for health. Well, I don't know that God has spoken in His Word to say that you're... In fact, God's Word says it's appointed unto man once to die. Even if you got faith, you're going to get sick and die one day. And churches that teach, you know, that if you got enough faith, you won't get sick. Well, they're not taking their own false teaching far enough, because if they believe that, man, if we got enough faith, we won't get sick... Well, they should also believe that they won't die. Right? But they still die. And by the way, they still get sick. They may tell you they don't, but they do. We're in a broken world, and saints get sick. Y'all believe that? Don't look at somebody that's sick and, they didn't have enough faith.
Yeah. No, you don't know that. Who sinned, Jesus, that this man was born blind? Him or his parents? Neither one. In fact, I let this man be born blind. It's for God's glory. Wait. God allows people to get sick for His glory? That's what Jesus said. Well, that's cruel. No, it's not. God is God. He's the potter. We're the clay. He can do what He wants. He's getting the glory. You either trust Him or you don't, right? He's either good or you're doubting Him. See, faith is not lying about the situation. Some people think that when we admit that we're sick or we're poor or whatever the situation is, that now we're speaking fear into the situation. No, you're telling the truth. You know, fear is when you're afraid to say you're sick. That's fear. Right? He's waiting on me to get my wording right before He heals me. That's fear, guys. That's chains of bondage. If you're sick, say you're sick and ask the church to pray for you. Amen? Don't deny it. In fact, here's what the book of James says in chapter 5, verse 14. If anyone among you is sick, let him say, no, I'm not sick. I'm believing for healing in Jesus' name. No, wait, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says, if anyone is among you sick, call for the elders of the church that they will pray for you and anoint you with oil. That's one of the most disobeyed verses in the whole Bible. But me and Mickey make house calls. Call us. Amen? No special healing powers in us. But it just says, bring it to the church, not to Benny Hinn, not to the traveling healer when they have a crusade at Verizon. Come to church and ask for prayer. Amen? God is at work. He is present in His body. Amen? Do you believe the healing God is with His church, no matter how small a local congregation is? I hope you do. We'll pray for you. And we'll pray, Lord, heal this person. If it's Your will. Because He may will to leave you sick a little longer because He's teaching you something. We don't know. God's God, we're not. But we have a lot of reason to believe that God heals sick people. And so we ought to pray. But He may not heal. He doesn't always heal. That's not because He's mean or He's not able. God is God. He has a plan. So I hope none of you don't fear your words like that. That you're speaking reality, you're releasing the reality of sickness in the air when you say I'm sick. That's ridiculous. All right? Believe God, who sometimes lets us get sick. Pray for healing. So Abraham looked at his body. He didn't lie and say, I'm a young, fertile man. I say it in Jesus' name. You know, he didn't do that. That's not faith. That's telling a lie. Abraham, you ain't young, bro. You're 100. And my wife, she's just as fertile as, you know. No, she's not. She's barren. But God is still going to bring life out of your deadness. You see, it doesn't glorify God to tell a lie about the situation. What gives glory is when God brings life out of that double deadness, as John Stott said. So, believe in God. He did not weaken. And it also says, in the next verse, He did not waver. He did not weaken in His faith. And He did not waver. I got this word in red here. It said, no unbelief. Other translations say, no distrust. This word for unbelief can mean doubt or distrust. So Abraham didn't give in to unbelief. And he didn't waver. What does waver mean? It means to hesitate, to deviate from the path of faith. All right. Abraham didn't doubt God's word. That doesn't mean he was perfect, but he continued believing God. Now today, lots of people are saying in Christian churches that doubt is good. We need to doubt a little bit. Doubt is humble. It says, you know, I don't have all the answers, man. You know, more important than the answers are the questions that we ask. And, you know, they're church, I'm telling you the truth. I hear this stuff. And you know, they get together and we don't preach a sermon because preaching is kind of assertive. And what we need to do is get together and sit in a circle and ask questions. And no. Are y'all with me this morning?
Oh man, I feel like I'm getting in trouble up here. Doubt is humble. Listen. The Bible, according to the Bible, doubt is not a virtue we should seek. It's a sin to repent of. Doubting, all right, there's a good kind of doubting when you're trusting God, but you just have some unanswered questions. Okay, that's good. The church should be a place where we welcome your questions with reverence, right? When you come and you're like, you know what, I'm not trying to, you know, prove God wrong or anything. I just have some questions. Okay, let's talk, man. Let's sit down, let's open the Bible, let's pray and let's talk. There's some unanswered things there. I get it. Not every question is answered. There's a good kind of doubt, but a lot of doubt is really just unbelief. And unbelief is a sin. And let me go farther than that. Unbelief is a great and terrible sin because it says something about the character of God. Unbelief says God is not worth trusting. Unbelief is a terrible sin. So when Jesus appeared to doubting Thomas, he didn't say, "Good job, bro. That was humble of you, man." He rebuked him and said, "Start believing, Thomas." So Abraham didn't waver with unbelief. It doesn't mean he was perfect. He had some missteps. But if you follow the trajectory of his life, he was believing. And then verse 21 through 22, we learn another thing about faith. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So again, we're seeing a God-focused faith. Do you see this in Romans 4? You noticed that before? It's a God-focused thing. It's trusting a person. And Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to keep his promise. In other words, Abraham's faith was making a statement of worship about the character and ability of God. Abraham was trusting God. That's saying his character is faithful and his power, he's limitless. I'm going to trust God. Faith is not a work that we do. Quite the opposite. Faith is admitting we can't do anything. God, I'm nothing. I don't have anything. And I can't do anything. But my eyes are on you. Faith looks away from our ability. Faith looks away from our character. Faith focuses on God. Faith admits our need, our powerlessness. Faith stretches empty hands to the Lord to be filled by His grace. That's faith. Looking away from ourselves and looking to Him. So we've looked at Abraham's God. We've looked at Abraham's faith. But the last section of Romans 4, will move quickly, I promise, talks about Abraham's example. Look at this. This is good news, guys, because this is not just a really cool story about Abraham. Paul wants to drive this home to us. This is practical. This is relevant for us. Paul says, but the words, it was counted to him, his faith was counted righteous for Abraham, were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. Man, praise God. It's written for us. It will be counted to us who believe in Him. What will be counted? Righteousness will be counted to us. By the way, do you see the focus of faith in Romans 4? It's not believing God to get stuff. It's believing God to be counted righteous. That's faith. All right? Counted righteous. That's our biggest need. All right? So listen, Paul is quoting the Old Testament and he's saying that's written for you. Some people never read the Old Testament. Well, that was for them. Paul said it's for you. Paul said Genesis 15 about Abraham, that's written for you. Look what he says at the end of the book, Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days, in the Old Testament, I mean, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You say, well, I'm feeling a little hopeless today. Well, you need to endure in your suffering and you need to look to the Scriptures to have hope. Amen. You need to endure in your suffering. Keep suffering and pray that you suffer well. As long as God's plan is for you to suffer, ask Him to let you not waste any of it. Don't waste your suffering, John Piper would say, right? Suffer for His glory. Don't get out there and whine and complain about it. You're wasting your suffering. Suffer to know Him more. Suffer for the glory of God and be encouraged in the Scriptures together. Paul also said something along these lines in 1 Corinthians 10:11, talking about the Old Testament. Now these things happened to them, to Israel, as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. So this is for us. So let's close out here. What do we got to do, Paul? This righteousness will be counted to us who believe. And notice there's no period there. Everybody believes. Just ask them, right? Yeah, I'm a believer. You know, what do you believe in? What kind of Jesus do you believe in? What's your doctrine? Oh, I don't like doctrine, man. Let's just believe, you know. Okay, but the Bible gives us something to believe. In other words, this righteousness that comes by faith is not just general faith, not faith in a vacuum, not faith in faith. It's faith in an object. What should our faith be in? In the one who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. Your faith needs doctrine to focus it in the right direction. And so we believe on the God who raises the dead, just like Abraham. So I want to point out really quickly, there's a similarity between our faith and Abraham, and then there's a difference. You ready? The similarity is, we believe in the same God that Abraham believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence. So in other words, Abraham was believing God could give life to his dead body and his wife's dead body, and that they could go and in the normal way among men and women produce children, being strengthened by God, because God promised. So Abraham believed in the God who gives life to the dead. The similarity is we believe in the God who gives life. He gave life to His Son, Jesus Christ, and raised Him from the dead. There's the similarity is the God who gives life. But the difference is we live farther down the path of God's revelation than Abraham lived. We know more about Jesus. We know more about the Messiah and that He died on the cross and rose again. So Abraham may not have had all the facts about Jesus, but he had the light that God gave him and he believed what God showed him and he was counted righteous. But since the time of Christ's coming, listen to me, saving faith must believe in Jesus Christ by name. Peter said in Acts 4, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. So saving faith on the other side of the cross must be faith in Jesus. And so it says that He was delivered up. What do we got to believe about Jesus? He was delivered up on the cross for our sins, our trespasses, and He was raised from the dead for our justification. We believe a gospel of a crucified and risen Savior. And when we believe in the crucified and risen Savior with a faith that trusts the God who gave His Son and raised Him up, we are counted righteous. That is the good news for us. How was Jesus raised for our justification? Tom Schreiner said His resurrection was evidence that His death was enough and that Jesus' work on our behalf has been completed. So the death and the resurrection go together. So what's left for us to do, guys? There's nothing left to do this morning but to believe the gospel. To look away from ourselves and look to God who can be trusted. He is a personal God who gives promises and we believe Him. Primarily, He is the God who gave His Son to die on a cross for our sins and who raised Him from the dead to save us forever. The Scripture, the whole push of Paul's argument is pushing us to Christ. He's saying, look away from yourself. You're not saved by works and keeping the law and becoming a Jew with circumcision and doing all these things. Look away from all that and look upon the God who gave His Son. Look on Jesus Christ. Trust in His accomplishment of redemption through His death and resurrection. Trust in Him with a faith that's not wavering. And you will be counted right with God. This is our hope, guys. This is our salvation. Believing the gospel. Believing the promise of life through Jesus. So I hope the Lord has encouraged you today. Maybe He's corrected us. Maybe He's challenged us a little bit. God is God and He's good. He gave His Son. You want to know if God is good? You say, well, I'm suffering right now. How do I know that God's good? Well, look away from your suffering to the suffering of Jesus Christ. And know that God is good. Jesus entered into our suffering by suffering Himself to defeat suffering forever. And one day your suffering is going to come to an end, brothers and sisters. You won't be suffering in heaven. If it's God's will for you to suffer till the day you die, then pray for strength and do it to His glory. But I promise you, glory is coming. And Paul said, I reckon that the glory that's coming, man, this suffering we have to endure is not worthy to be compared to that glory that's coming. So endure this morning with faith, looking to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Can you humble before God this morning? Can you lay it down at His feet, whatever your situation? Can you trust Him?